Hello, and welcome to It's a Fandom Thing. I'm your host, Erin Marlowe, and each week I'm joined by a panel of guests to discuss all things fandom and pop culture, primarily from a female perspective. You'll find everything from fanfic to cosplay to Schitt's Creek to Supernatural and everything in between. So put on your favorite piece of fandom merch, set aside that fanfic that you're writing about your OTP, and sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to It's a Fandom Thing. I'm your host, Erin Marlowe, and on this episode, we are going to be talking about ageism in fandom. And I have with me my triple podcast hosts, Bex and Ishelle. Almost sounds weird when I say that. Maybe I should come up with some other kind of thing. I'm trying to come up with something really cool. But I'm glad to have both of them back. They were on our Pop Culture and Fandom News episode on Wednesday. So I'm happy to have you both back to talk about this topic. This is not anywhere near as heavy, although there can be some kind of the tripods. Sorry, everyone. I got distracted by little things. But yes, I like that name. So Ishelle has suggested the tripods. So yeah.
I like it. I'm here for it.
So we're talking about ageism and fandom, which is not as heavy as the topic that we started the month out with, which was internalized misogyny in fandom and media. But there can be some heaviness to this, I think, in some things as well. And so I won't have as many trigger warnings, but I did want to give some potential ones just from things that I've read with preparing for this episode that could come up. And I do want to bring up trigger warnings for there could possibly be racism, homophobia, transphobia. There could also, I don't know if it'll come up with things that we're talking about, just the potential that sometimes in these areas, there's also the fact of, you know, grooming, also like adults and, you know, people under the age of 18 that should not be interacting as well. So I do think that is important just to mention because I don't know if it will come up as much in this. But there are certain areas that's why certain people under a certain age don't want to interact with adults in certain fandom spaces, and that's totally okay. So I do want to mention that too in the beginning here. Sorry. I do want to give you, it's kind of a definition. It's more like what the topic is, like an overview of what ageism and fandom is from fanlore.org. Ageism in fandom is a topic of discussion in fandom spaces in the context of how different age groups interact and are perceived, and how these perceptions affect the treatment of other fans, content creators, and characters. Some object to calling the discussion ageism, preferring that the term be reserved for more real-life, systemic issues and discrimination, such as in the economy, rather than generally moral disagreements on the internet. So that's a little tiny bit of a discussion there. I will have some links in the show notes, and I'm going to mention some articles when we get to me, the first go around here, of some really good reference reads, I think, that are kind of on all sides or both sides in a way. So we will be talking. So I will have some links in the show notes as well, just as we did for the internalized misogyny episode. So first, I want to start out with Bex. Why do you think, or do you think, ageism is prevalent in fandom spaces?
Well, I definitely think it is. Why? I think there's a lot of factors that kind of all overlap and intersect with one another. And I tried to put myself back into the shoes of like being a teenager or, you know, even into my early 20s. But especially as teenagers, we don't necessarily want to, like, grown-ups do grown-up things. And kids do kid things, and those things can't be the same in our kid minds, right? That's kind of how I always, like, when I think about my grandmother being my age when I was born, it just blows my mind, right? Like, she was always such a grown-up to me. And I think that that stigma that we have, or that not even stigma, but association that we have, sort of makes us think that we can't occupy the same spaces or, you know, again, when we are younger. And we also want to have our own things that are separate from the adults in our lives. And so when that seems to cross over, it's like, wow, you could be my mom, but you're here. And then there's like this weird defense thing that comes up, right? That people get like, how dare you be in this space? I don't know. And I think there still is, like, while fandom has kind of opened up to more people, there is sort of this mainstream idea that, like, being into Star Wars or being into, you know, any TV show or film or something, that's kid stuff. Being into comics isn't for adults and so on. And even though, like, stigmas of, you know, the Trekkie who lives in their parents' basement, or, you know, I think of Supernatural, like the Beckys of the world, right? Where it's like, oh my gosh, she's sitting in front of her computer 24/7 doing this, and like, what else does she do with her life besides dedicate it to fandom? I don't know. You see, when you're a kid, you see adults as like doing things that are different than you, you know. And I think social media kind of plays into this a bit, like our awareness that other people, like adults have always engaged in fandom. That's not new. But I think our awareness of all of the generations engaging in similar fandoms and overlapping fandoms is much more prevalent because of things like social media. So now we see, like, we have access to seeing that people were interested in these things. And, you know, I think there's also people, and especially women, but we'll get to this a bit more detail later, people are shamed, or they were shamed, for speaking up about their interests that were seen as juvenile by, I don't know who, the patriarchy, I'm assuming. Generally, that's the answer. That's true. Right? Like, there's, But I think, to me, it's this sort of block that especially younger generations have about adults being in the same space that they are. And I think as adults, many of us have realized that that doesn't need to be that way. But, you know, maybe it takes a little while to come into understanding that. It's like, you're supposed to what, hit a certain age and now you're not allowed to be interested in anything except your job and your kids? But, you know, like, what? No, of course not. But that is sort of the mentality, right? My mom is my mom. My mom's not a fangirl. But why not? Why can't she be, right? I don't know. I have lots of thoughts on this, but I think some of them are a little more specific to, like, women and, you know, genres and so on. So I'll save it.
Okay. So, Ishel, why do you think ageism is prevalent in fandom?
So, not to be like super philosophical or anything, but I think art in all its forms can be a window and it can also be a mirror. So when we look at it, we see ourselves and the experiences that we've had and things that we've learned and endured and desired up until that point in our life. And we kind of bring that into whatever fandom we're interacting with. And so like your age just kind of becomes a part of it, even without even thinking about it. And so your rightness or their wrongness, a lot of times that is based on many factors. And one of those is your age. Just like, not because I'm 57 and this is a 57 year old opinion, but it's just like, based on life that I've experienced in my 57 years, this is how I feel about this thing and this fandom or whatever. And then I think there's also this weird thing about ownership in fandom where it's like, this came out when I was the target age for this. So this belongs to me and my generation and people my age. And so I think like that's one factor. And then also there's all this societal pressure to grow up and what that's supposed to mean for people and how, like even something that you said in the beginning, Ariel, people are like, well, let's save that word for things that are more serious and that actually matter. Well, there are some, yeah, there are boundaries and you need to live in the real world. but there are some things about fandom that are very real and it does have it is important and it is impactful. But I think sometimes that gets diminished and that gets taken away, especially when they're supposed to like, hey, you're an adult. You shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't care about this or you shouldn't be this involved in it or whatever. You're wasting your time or your money or whatever. So I think it's a lot of just those things, feeling like we own something. And I mean, I might be guilty of that in some ways, feeling like we own something because of when it came out or, you know, who was the target demographic. Yeah. And just people telling other people to grow up and how to grow up and what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, pretty much ditto all of that. I do want to quickly just mention three articles and blog posts that I recommend reading that I found the most helpful when researching this. The first one you can find on Psychology Today. I'll put the link, and it's by Dr. Lynn Zubernis, who, of course, we interviewed for Soup's Ain't Always Heroes a while back. And also, she, of course, has written a lot about Supernatural. And this is titled, You're Never Too Old to Be a Fan. Fandom can be a touchstone for self-identity and continuity at any age. The second one is from The Mary Sue, and it's by Julia Delbel. And it is titled, Fandom Ageism Doesn't Make Any Sense. And then the third one, and this one was really interesting to read for me, but this was Stitch's Media Mix, A Critical Stitch. And this is titled, Memeing for a Reason, number 19, Adults Aren't Marginalized in Fandom. Sorry. And that was a really interesting one because it talked a lot about how, because I do think ageism exists in fandom, in that I do think a lot of, you know, and it's funny how it's referenced at being 25 and older is when people are considered too old to be fans, which is so weird to me because 25 to me, that's like a baby.
Right?
That is so young. I mean, I'm only 27, but...
You're 27. Ishell's 57, apparently.
So, I mean, it's just, to me, that just doesn't seem, that seems weird to me. To me, when I'm thinking of this, I'm thinking of, like, when you get at least over 30. So when I'm seeing 25, the age 25, like in this, especially in this blog post. But what was interesting in here is this author talked a lot about how people who are talking about ageism and who feel they're quote unquote victims of ageism in fandom have compared it to the treatment that other fans get from truly marginalized communities. And that is not right. I want to say that is not correct. You should not be comparing it. Ageism is not the same as homophobia, racism, transphobia, sexism. I don't think of it as being the same in this space at all. There are, of course, issues that do come up in the real world with ageism, where people can't get jobs, or the way we treat the elderly in this country is horrendous at times. And so there is that. But to compare it to that is just wrong, I think. And while I think ageism does exist, I don't think it's on the same level, anywhere near the same level. Because I guess there was a Twitter user, and they blocked out their handle in this blog post. And this blog post was done on September 16th, 2022. And this person said, and this has since been deleted, 25 plus fandom should really just go on strike. 3 months minimum where we don't post fic, we don't comment, we don't commission anyone under 25. We don't do any organizing or tag wrangling. We don't buy merch or prints or zines. We don't retweet what they make. See how fun fandom is then. Fandom Age Justice Walkout begins January 1st, 2023. This was a joke tweet, but for the 24 years and younger feeling left out, you can join too if you support older fans not being marginalized. Strikes succeed when marginalized communities work in solidarity. Imagine if this really happened. Imagine if the age walkout married up with a BIPOC walkout to address fandom racism. Imagine if there was nobody left in common fandom spaces except puritanical youngsters reenacting the crucible with each other. The trouble is there aren't fandom bosses to fight back against and make demands of what would you negotiate for and from who. How would you establish a new code of ethics for a community as big and diverse and deliberately decentralized as fandom? Now, this is where I think it gets ridiculous because while there is definitely ageism in fandom, people call other older people on fandom, they've been called hags if they love an actor that is their same age or older than them. And they're, you know, fan girling, or if they have a fan, they're like just in awe of them, or they're fans of them, or they're running fanfic, or they're all that kind of stuff. But to compare it to other really real, real things, I'm not saying, once again, it does happen in fandom, but really real things that are a lot deeper and a lot more systemic is really wrong. And plus, this person also points out, you know, that ageism in fandom sometimes is used as an excuse for when people are doing truly horrendous behavior, like they're racist. And so then it's kind of excused their age. You see this happen in the real world where, oh, that's just crazy Uncle George and he's from a different generation, so they don't know any better, that kind of thing. And so I do agree with this point here that this author is making. I do agree with this point, but I do think it does exist. And I do think a lot of it does stem from that fact of people do think when you get to be a certain age, and I know in that Mary Sue article, this is brought up, that what, you're just going to sit around, you just do taxes all day, and you just budget, and you just don't do anything fun anymore. You just, you're just, especially, and we're going to be talking about women here next and how it presents itself, if it's different. And I think, of course, it does. And a lot of that is because, you know, women were expected to be, well, we're just going to become mothers and wives and good mothers and wives, and we're going to work and no more fun. And I mean, why? That doesn't make any sense. I understand, though, if you're a kid and you don't want adults in your space, I understand that. Because when you're a kid and when you're a teenager, adults are the enemy. I mean, in a lot of respects. And so I understand that you're like, ah, I don't want to be hanging out with someone that reminds me of my mom. I don't want to be hanging out with somebody, you know, and they're who's older than me or who's going to be mom, being like a mom to me. I understand that. And I think that's where it kind of comes from, is I think it all goes back to society. And like you said, Bex, the patriarchy, and it all goes back to the way that we represent what is okay and what's not okay. Cause you don't really see this when you're talking about sports, you know, you don't see people saying you should stop liking sports now. You're over 25. That's it. You can't like sports anymore. But with this, oh, you cannot like, you know, this character, that genre, this whatever, after a certain age because it's quote-unquote childish. There's no difference there. If you're finding joy, as long as you're not hurting anybody, as long as it's not consuming you so much that you're not happy anymore, but if you're finding joy in this stuff, what's wrong with it? Like was also pointed out in one of these articles, there aren't a lot of things after a certain age that are made for adults where they can go and explore hobbies all the time. It's not always feasible. And a lot of those hobbies are like geared more towards what people, what society thinks you should be interested in at a certain age. And so I think that's a lot of where this comes from, is when you're young, you think when you get to a certain age, you think when you get to like your 30s, that's ancient and your life's over. And there's so much more after that. But I really think, you know, so I think that's where that comes from. And they're like, how in the world could you like this stuff? And like what was pointed out in, I believe it was the Mary Sue article, I'd be curious to see a lot of these fans that do that, when they are that age, what are their thoughts going to be? So then we've already kind of mentioned it a little bit, but so I know, I think we all kind of agree that it is, but so do you think women in fandom deal with more ageism than men?
Like you said, we all kind of answered that, but I think we can talk a little bit about the why, right? And I think a lot of it, again, going back to the patriarchy, women have very traditionally been pitted against one another, right? When you watch shows or movies, especially 20th century, back in the 1900s. Listen, if I have to hear that every week from my students, y'all have to hear it too. God. Like, oh, professor, what was it like back in the late 1900s? Get out of here. Get out of here. Anyway, but you see that, like, if there were two women in a movie, then they were each other's enemy, or they had some sort of like beef with one another. So you have this dynamic of these two women kind of pitted against one another. And if you add the age factors into it, it's like, well, this is what makes us different as women, right? That like, well, you don't get it because you're too young, or you don't get it because you're too old, or so on. And I also think it ties back into this whole thing about being productive members of society, right? Again, I mentioned like the fanboy who lives in their parents' basement, or the Beckys of the supernatural. For those who don't know, she would just sit and write fan fiction and was really into it. That was kind of consumed her life, right? They're not considered productive. And so therefore, they're not like useful. So again, it comes to our other enemy besides patriarchy. It's capitalism. Listen, we all know we can boil everything down to those two enemies. And then racism, probably that would be the third.
Which is all tied in.
It's all the same. It's all connected. Yeah. I think, Erin, you mentioned this, right? Like, what are women expected to become? Or maybe Ishel, I don't remember now, but you said mothers, right? Like this expectation that like, oh, you hit a certain age, you're supposed to be a mother. And mothers do X, Y, and Z. You know, I couldn't tell you anything my mother was into when I was 16. I have no idea. I don't, maybe she was into something, but I don't know what that was. And so like we see women older than ourselves many times, especially when we're in that pre-25 age that you're talking about, the cutoff for fandom is, it's like, this is the role they're supposed to be doing. And if they're not mothers, then they need to be working, because they can't just be like living off of a man, because then they'll be judged for that, right? But it's ironic because like a lot of women engage in fandom to the degree they do because now they actually have their own money to do this thing, to be able to buy these experiences and these books and these posters and the Funko Pops and whatever, right? They now have the access to that, which is something they didn't have as a kid. So yeah, I don't know. Those are two of the ways I see like women dealing with it more than men.
So Ishel, counterpoint? No, I'm just kidding.
I completely disagree. Yeah, no, not at all. I agree. And I think it stems from a very dated idea that men deserve a rest and an escape. Women have been at home all day. Men have been at work, and they can come home and they can unplug and they can watch TV or read their comic book or whatever, or they're heading off to work, so they're reading the comic strip of a newspaper or whatever. But women, you don't need rest, because what have you been doing all day? You know, it's like, no, while he's resting and he's escaping into whatever fandom he's in, you need to be, you know, cooking and then cleaning and getting the children ready for bed and that sort of thing. And I think it just kind of stems from that, where there was no space for women to have any time to engage with any kind of fandom, you know? And so I definitely feel like women would experience it, but they do. I'm sorry, not would. I definitely feel like women experience it more. And because it is that thing, it is true. Unfortunately, you know, I'm from Bible Belt in the South. And it's like, if you're over 25 and you're not married with kids, like, you must be a leper. Something's wrong with you. So yeah, even though that age being the cutoff is wild to me, it makes a lot of sense for where I'm from.
I just can't get over this 25 thing, you know. But you know what's interesting though about that? I just want to say really quickly, when I remember when I turned 25, and it was this weird thing, and I've heard a couple other people I know, I can't remember which panelist it was, that said, yep, same thing happened to me. I got so depressed when I turned 25. It was the only birthday I felt, which now I look back and I'm like, what? It was the first birthday that I felt depressed. Like, I'm 25. It's like that, like, you're like, it's like you've gone a quarter of a life kind of, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know what it was. So it's interesting to me that the cutoff here is like, you know, once you get to 25, that's it, you're done. And so I think that's interesting that then I felt that way. I know I've heard from other people. I know there was a panelist that said they felt that way too. So it's just interesting to me that that's the age. And, you know, you would think it would be 30, honestly, would be that. But to have it be that is just, it's just an interesting phenomenon to me. There's something about that age that just, I don't know.
Is that when brains fully develop? Is that, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
It's early 20s. It's early. It is some, I can't remember the exact age now. I feel kind of silly. But yeah, but I don't know if it's 25, but it's just interesting to me that it's that age that seems to be like, there are all those milestones. Like, there's, you know, I mean, there's ones before that, of course, but there's the, you know, 25, then 30, and then, of course, 40, and so on. But it's just interesting to me. So I don't know. I have to do more research on that. But yeah.
The school of Google says mid to late 20s. So
okay, maybe that's why. I don't know. The school of Google. Yeah. But yes, women are definitely they're treated different in every space. So why should it be any different in fandom and with your age too? And they're treated this way by men who are the same age as them too, and in fandoms as well. So men can continue to geek out about things and they may get a hard time or get that whole, you know, living in your parents' basement kind of thing that Bex was talking about. But it's not to the same degree as women. And I do think it's because that is that societal expectation of women are meant to just have children and get married once they, you know, reach a certain age. It's still there. And all of us on this panel do not have children. I want to just say that right now. We are all childless. And I'm not going to speak for my other panelists, but for me, I'm childless by choice. And that was for very different reasons that I'm not going to go into. But it is this thing of like, people just can't accept that. If you're a woman, there are some people that can't accept that you don't want to have children, that you don't want to have that life that you're supposed to want, which there's nothing wrong, of course, with wanting to have children and get married, all that. There's nothing wrong. Whichever way, however you choose to live your life, however you choose to live your life as a woman is fine as long as you're not hurting anybody. It's fine. But I think we've been so conditioned by media, by what our parents sometimes tell us, by what our grandparents, by society. I still, like last year, it was a work thing. I was talking with someone and I said, yeah, I don't want to have children. I'm not going to have children. She's like, oh, you're going to change your mind. You'll change your mind. I'm like, no, I don't want to have children. And she pressed and pressed this. And it's like, I told you I don't want to have children. That should be the end of the conversation. Because you don't know. She doesn't know why I don't have children. And there are so many different reasons. And it could be something that is very triggering for that person. You don't know, or it could not be. So you just, when someone says that, you leave it be. And so I think that's where a lot of this comes from, is they're like, if you're focusing so much on fandom, if you're focusing so much on your hobbies or these things that are supposed to be only for people under 25 to enjoy, then you're not going to be able to find a husband. Or if you have children, because there are people who have children who do enjoy and love fandom, you're going to be neglecting your children. You're going to be neglecting your wifely duties. You're going to be neglecting, you know, the household, all that kind of stuff. But you don't see the same pressure on men. You don't see men like who have like their, you know, sports stuff and their pools. And I'm not saying women don't love sports, because women do, but you don't see men that have that being like told, you're neglecting your family, you know, for this. Or same with if they're into like sci-fi stuff like that, you're neglecting your family. You know, it goes back to when we were talking about internalized misogyny and how people tell fathers, you know, when they're with their kids, they're babysitting instead of you're a father. They're not babysitting. Fathers don't babysit their children. They're with their children. And so it's that whole thing of very much, you know, women are not allowed to have joy or fun. We're supposed to be in the service of others once we get over 25. But I think that's true when you're under 25 too. We are never supposed to put ourselves first. And so I think when you have a hobby, or when you're involved in fandom, when you're finding joy in that, you're not supposed to be doing that, which is so sad and depressing when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because once again, as long as it's healthy and you're not hurting anyone, there's no problem with it. And you're finding joy in it. There's no problem with finding joy in something that, you know, when you're 20 or when you're 60 or 70, there's no problem with that. There was one thing that I was reading today where it was like, you know, people that they talked to people when they were like retired, or when they were in retirement homes or communities, and they still loved the same actors that they loved when they were in their 20s. They still loved to talk about them. So this is not a new thing. It's not like all of a sudden people who are older like fandom stuff. But I think, like Bex mentioned earlier, it's because of the internet, social media, it's become more prevalent and more, and it's talked about more. So then people see it more, but it's always been there. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. But people like to make it that way. And I think this also happens a lot with fandom wars and ship wars. I see it a lot when, like, because I'm so nosy about this stuff. So I like will go and look at this stuff. I don't participate, but I look at it. And you'll see that, like, one of the little things they use, the jabs that people will use is, these old, you know, they're like their 40s and they're still doing this. They're still like, why are they still doing this? And I'm like, you know what? I actually was on your side of this, but now I'm not, because you're sitting there being like, that is not the way to insult someone over this. And they're like, oh, you know, or the whole little get a job, or why aren't you working? Shouldn't you be doing more stuff? How do you have the time to do this? I'm like, how do you have the time to do this? Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. And those people are like in their 20s. So, but yeah. Yeah. So it definitely is bigger, a bigger problem with when it comes to women in fandom, for sure.
I think it's funny too that you mentioned, like, you can't find a husband if you're in fandom, like that mentality. I'm like, I didn't even find fandom till after I had a husband. And now he's just like, all right, well, that's your thing, right? It's like, you got to find your person who is open to that if you want to find your person.
Yeah. And some people find their person through fandom.
Exactly.
That's the other thing. So, you know, I mean, and wouldn't you want to? I mean, if you could find someone in there who shares that same joy that you do, which there's nothing wrong if they don't. But I mean, if you can find that, that's also incredible. And people found this podcast would not exist without me finding people in fandom over the age of 25 when I found these people. So, you know, so, hey, it brings it about a lot of joy.
Yeah, I found my best friends. We were, in college together watching The Walking Dead and having Sunday dinners. And those are some of my best friends now. So, yeah, I think it can bring some lasting relationships into your life.
Yeah. And it can save you. I really think that it can change your life. It can make you feel like you have family for some people that don't have family or have family that judges them. That's that kind of thing. So, yeah. But I do want to know. Do you think ageism, Bex, presents itself heavier in one genre over the other?
The first thing that I thought of with this question is, it kind of goes back to something you were talking about earlier with men and some of their fandoms, and particularly like the sports fandoms. Like, sports fandoms don't seem to fall victim to ageism. You can be 5 and be in the sports fandom. You can be 95 and in the sports fandom. And no one questions it. Man or woman, mostly men, women still get some judgment, but that's, I don't know if that falls under ageism as much as sexism. Again, yeah. They can overlap, and they do. But I think for me, like, I'm kind of late to the fandom game in terms of like my age. I didn't come into fandom until my 30s. So I guess I was already an old hag by the time I got to fandom. No, but whatever. But for me, like, I think the fandoms that I engaged in kind of fall all under a similar, like, TV pop culture umbrella, where I haven't noticed fandom, like, ageism in my fandoms. That's not what I want to say, because I've definitely noticed it in my fandoms. What I'm trying to say is, like, I haven't noticed ageism across genres because I mostly engage with one genre, but within each of the individual fandoms, I have seen ageism to varying degrees. I think that's how I want to articulate that.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So, Ishel, do you think there is?
I would imagine so, kind of same as Bex. I like have my select, you know, genres that I belong to, and I kind of interact with fandom in, I guess, my own way. So I may not see a lot of it, but I would guess so. I watch I watch some teen dramas, and the ones that are very like diverse and representative, there wasn't a lot of that when I was a preteen or even a teenager. And so I don't know, maybe it's me like soothing and treating my inner child, or like going back and getting to experience something that I didn't have when I was that age. And I think sometimes in things like that, like I want to be able to talk about some teen drama that I love with fellow fans. Now, I don't want to talk about it with 15-year-olds. Yeah, I don't want to be in the same space with teenagers. And so sometimes I wish there was a like 25 and up category. You could divide the fans, which I know you don't want the division, but sometimes I wish there was the division. And so I would definitely say, for example, in that genre, yeah, I see ageism there, because it feels like, even though I think they forget, this was created by an adult. This was not written by a 15-year-old. Exactly. One that I'm watching right now, the lady who wrote this is like in her 40s, and it's about their high schoolers. And I'm like, she's 40. She's older than I am. And so if anybody can, you know, be a part of this fandom, it should be me. But yeah, I definitely think that it is more prevalent in certain genres. And maybe it's the more like when you get into video game type stuff, because that there is the whole like, you're too old to be playing video games, which if you're holding down your job and you're responsible for yourself and the people in your life you're supposed to be responsible for, do whatever. So I would guess that there are, yeah, definitely certain genres where it is more prevalent.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny because I think the genre question is a lot easier to see the differences there when you're talking about, like, if you're talking about misogyny and stuff like that, it's easy to say, like, oh, yeah, misogyny is definitely more prevalent in sci-fi spaces, fantasy spaces, horror spaces. You know, those kind of fandoms, you definitely will find it there more. But I think with ageism, it's hard to tell, because sometimes I think because if you are just in a particular fandom, that's where you're seeing it. So you might not see it in like other ones that you might not be a part of. You know, like I still watch Days of Our Lives. I've talked about this. I've been watching soap since I was a little kid. I still watch Days of Our Lives every day. And I've been on soap Twitter, just like kind of just looking around and seeing things. And I have yet to see anything. And that doesn't mean it doesn't exist, because I'm sure it does, any kind of ageism on there. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But I think soaps are a different kind of animal in some respects, because I think with soaps, people automatically kind of associate it with people being older. I really think that's, you know, like you associate it with like, my grandma watched soaps. So I think that's a little bit different. So I don't know if you'd find it as much there. There's definitely other stuff you will find in the soap stuff, like a lot of other bad behavior, of course. But I think you can sometimes probably find this a little bit more in like sci-fi spaces, and because I think that's more from a lot of the men. So it comes into a lot of, once again, the misogyny. It's all kind of, those two things are tied in with it in that genre. And I think you can also find it sometimes in horror, which is really weird to me, because people never think kids should watch horror. But then I do think there is this thing of people think it's kind of weird sometimes when people that are older are like really, really into horror. I know, you know, for me, when I was in Ireland and I was talking about how much I'm into horror, and I was talking to other people and they're like, oh, I am too. And then I was talking about how I love Michael Myers and collect Michael Myers stuff. And no one outright said anything, but you could see it was kind of like this look of, oh, that's weird. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not with fandom people, I guess. I'm just with people that like the genre. But I don't think that's necessarily ageism. I think that's also just the thing of like, that's just kind of, you know, people don't understand that kind of stuff all the time. So it is a hard question, I think, to completely answer, because it's hard to know. But if we're all in different fandoms and we're all in different genres, then to me, it seems like, except for, like I said, I don't think it's necessarily present in the soap fandom as heavily. I think it could be pretty much any genre, pretty much, you know. But yes, I think sports is totally treated differently. But if you are into sports, you're in a fandom. That's a fandom. So it's a fandom, okay? Because you're doing the same stuff. You're collecting things. You're, you know, you're wearing jerseys. That's fandom stuff. That's merch, dude. That's what you're doing. So, you know, it's the same exact thing. So, you know, if you're not going to criticize that when people are a certain age, then you can't criticize people that like Star Wars after a certain age, that kind of stuff. But I do see that when you're talking, Isha, when you're talking about like shows that are like teen focused, I find that when I'm like, if I rewatch shows like Dawson's Creek or Felicity or stuff like that, and those are comforting to me because I loved those when I was, you know, some of those were on when I was in my early 20s. So it's comforting to me. But there are, is that part of me that I'm like, should it be weird that I'm still watching that? So you, I think you can have that own internal struggle, but it's not because it's comforting for you. But I do want to say, though, that I've noticed the fandom that I am involved in, that I've noticed ageism in the most, is Supernatural.
Hands
down, Supernatural.
So weird.
It's so weird because I think why that happens in Supernatural, I'll tell you. I think it happens because Supernatural premiered in 2005. And then and it ran from 2005 to 2020. So you've got this huge gap where there are people that were just like teenagers or younger, just kids when it first came out, and they're now discovering it. And so those fans, I see, attack older fans that are still in the space. And then there will also be the vice versa, where people that are have been watching since 2005 will attack people that are younger and just discovering the show. So Supernatural definitely is, I think, the fandom where I have seen ageism more than any other fandom around. Hands down, for me personally, it's really bad, honestly. I mean, and that's where I've seen like sides of shipping wars where I'm on their side more than I'm on the other one. But then that side is like, well, you're an old hag. Okay, well, then you lost me. It's like, there are many other things you can
use. And then they like shame you for responding because it's like, you're 15. Why are you over here arguing with a 14-year-old? It's like, why are you
14 and on the internet? Like, go away.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. What are your school hours? School,
yes.
Don't you have homework?
Well, but these are like 20-year-olds, people in their 20s that are doing this. It's not necessarily like, I mean, I'm sure there are people that are teenagers, but there are people that are in their 20s, mm-hmm. some that I think are even in their 30s. That are attacking other people that are 40 and above. So yeah, it's big in Supernatural fandom. I mean, we'll just have to one day do like a whole, we'll probably do it on my other podcast. It's a Dean thing, you know, talking about the fandom in Supernatural, because there are so many issues with that fandom. I love that fandom. I've met so many people that are on this podcast because of that fandom. I wouldn't have this podcast because of that fandom, without that fandom. But there's a lot of issues. And I think this is definitely one of the many, many, many issues. Mm-hmm. So there's a YouTube video and I was going to watch it, but then it turns out they just kind of did it as a way to have people kind of meditate. And it's called Ageism and the SPN fandom, the Supernatural. If you don't know, it's abbreviated SPN. And it starts out with some words and then it said, okay, now let's all breathe in. For 10, breathe out for, and that's the whole video. It's just all this like breathing exercise. So I'll put a link to it in the show notes just so you can experience that. Okay, well, I want to know. So Bex, do you think ageism is stronger in fanfic and fan art spaces, like with those creators?
Yes, and I think it ties into what you're talking about with sort of factions within fandom as well, right? There's a lot of ageism in the fanfic world. Like, how do you have the time to write all of this stuff if you're older or whatever? But like, some of the best written and most read stories that people come back to over and over again are written by older fans. And why? Well, because just the default of time, right? They've had more time to practice writing. They've had more time to hone their craft. They have more lived experiences that they can write about with like knowledge of those experiences in some case, or they have the research skills to kind of engage in that. And it's not to say that young fans can't be great writers. There are some out there that are phenomenal, right? And we want to encourage them to keep writing and to keep engaged. So, like, I feel like age shouldn't play a role in this at all, but it does. So I've only read fanfic in the supernatural realm. And so I'm thinking like a younger reader or a younger writer might want younger plot lines, like a high school AU or something like that. And those stories can be really good and really fun to engage in. But when you go on the other side and you say, okay, well, how dare you write this content that's too mature? This is like, this isn't for kids. Well, okay, then don't read it. The tags exist for a reason. And especially on platforms like AO3, there most writers are really good about their tags. So like learning how to use those properly, right? If I don't want to engage in stories that might be dealing with younger content because I'm older, then I'm going to avoid those tags. You know, when it comes to other forms of fan art, especially like visual fan art, I'm thinking like photography and like drawings that people put up online, I hear a lot of like, well, you put it out there, so it's not stealing if I use it, right? Like I can take this. And I think, again, it happens a lot with photography. Who are going to be better photographers? People who have more experience. I'm not saying they have to be old. They have to be hags. But
that dreaded 25.
those 25-year-old hags. But they have more practice. They have more practice at doing this. They've honed their art over time. And, you know, those are the instances when people say, oh, hey, you shouldn't post this without giving credit to the photographer or to the creator or whatever. That's a lot of the times where I have personally seen the, why don't you get a job instead of just drawing fictional characters all day? Or why don't you get a job instead of writing fanfic all day? And it's, again, as we've already mentioned a million times, a lot of times people are doing all of these things because that's their hobby. That's what they enjoy. And it doesn't have to be a job. Your hobbies don't have to be jobs. I say as looking at three of us doing like multiple podcasts.
Yeah.
Listen, do as I say, not as I do, all right? I'm an old hag.
Yeah. I'm an old
hag. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So, Ishel.
I definitely feel like it's stronger in fanfic and fan art for sure. And like, I just discovered fanfic like 4 years ago. It's been around forever. And so I just get like lost in that world. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's like so much good here. but fan art and fan fiction, it's an extension and an interpretation of fandom based on how you see it or what you would want to see or, you know. And so older people are probably giving interpretations that reflect the things that are more relevant to their lives. And a lot of the things that they are creating end up becoming the signature pieces associated with that fandom. And sometimes a younger fan is like, well, I don't want that to, you know, that's a 60-year-old's interpretation of it. I don't want that. You know, that's not, you know, we don't want some old hag to, you know, be creating the, you know, this signature piece for it or whatever. And, you know, especially it gets a little tricky when things cross over into the NSFW category. But a lot of times people are writing that because if I'm this age in life or this is my experience and this is what I'm writing for these characters because this is just a real part of my life, then that's just, like I said, just a natural expression of who they are and how they're interacting with this fandom. And yeah, unfortunately, there's not, again, I say there needs to be this division. Here I am trying to divide society, but like, you know, we're like, no, you just cannot get in this space. You got to show ID to be able to get up in here. But anyway, so sorry. My point is, I absolutely think that it's stronger in fan fiction and fan art, because that's the thing that's a little bit more personal, creating, you know, those extensions of the fandom, those are a little bit more personal. And so a lot of times I think that's where you can see age creep in. If it could be a good thing, like Bex was saying, like, but their experience, just being able to write a really good story that's well crafted, well edited. And so sometimes I think that's where you can see a little bit more of age playing a factor in a fandom. So I definitely feel like it's stronger there.
Yeah. Yeah. And next week, we're going to be talking about fanfic do's and don'ts. And I think this might come up there too. But I do think it is really prevalent in this space. And I think what people I think sometimes tend to forget is fanfic and fan art is creating art. It's being a creator. And the people that write your shows, like Bex, like Ishel, excuse me, said a while ago, the people that create your shows, create the stuff that you are fanning about, are adults that are over 25 for the majority of them. So, you know, it's the same thing. So fanfic is just a creative outlet for people. And fanfic writers, there are some fanfic writers that are better than some published authors out there. There just are. There are published authors that write fanfic. So, you know, I mean, one of the most well-known in the supernatural fandom, and yes, they're problematic as hell, but S.E. Hinton has come out and said that she writes fanfic. She won't say what her pen name is, which is understandable. So it happens. And also fanfic writers then can become authors, like published authors as well, because they are. There's so many talented writers in that community. And it shouldn't be just limited to a certain age group. And you know what? A lot of times you can't even tell how old someone is that's writing fanfic, honestly. You might say you can be by the way it's written. Like you might say, well, they're just really young, because that seems a little bit really, you know, poorly written. But that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. You don't know. You have no idea unless they have publicly said how old they are. I do understand, though. I think sometimes, and I think it's more prevalent in fan art and fanfic too, but fan art, I understand why there are some people that are uncomfortable with fan art that is ships that are underage ships or characters that are being written or created or drawn by adults. And I think that is a big, big area where a lot of fans under a certain age have an issue with fans over a certain age. And that also comes into the whole anti-shipping movement. And a lot of that has to deal with quote-unquote problematic ships. And, you know, it's that's a very complicated area of it, because, you know, it's like, on the one hand, when you're enjoying shows, they're written by adults, but they're about teenagers. And maybe the teenagers are an adult situations or in sexual situations or something. And those are, like, you know, shows that are on television or, you know, movies or stuff like that. People don't always seem to get upset about that. But then if somebody is doing fan art or fanfic for that, then people might be upset about that. So that is to me a different, more complex question in a way, because I can understand where that would make people under a certain age feel uncomfortable. And that's where you also get into the thing that people under a certain age, I mean, I know, Ishel, you've jokingly said about, you know, how we need to basically, you know, like have like certain groups, not, you're not allowed to come in here unless you're a certain age. But that is, we do need that in some spaces. This kind of stuff, you do need that. Like, there are lots of accounts. You'll go on there and it says no one under a certain age can interact with this account. And it will say, do not interact, you know, the DNI, isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Do not interact.
Yeah.
I'm an old hag, it's usually, okay?
It's usually with the 18 circle, yeah, is what I've seen the most, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why most of these podcast episodes, unless they're like interviews sometimes, but these podcast episodes are rated E for a reason. Like, I don't think little kids should be listening to a lot of the episodes that we release. And so we rate it that for a reason. And then it's the responsibility of the pairing and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's a very touchy, touchy subject. And I think when we talk about fanfic do's and don'ts, we might talk about that a little bit more. You know, what's okay, what's not. I think if you're tagging stuff and if you're not hurting other people and you're not making this stuff and, you know, purposely trying to go here, young person in the fandom with me, I want you to look at this. That's not okay. That is just hands down not okay in my book. But if you are marking it and tagging it, and yes, like Beck said, people luckily are really good about this, usually on AO3. There's also, if you don't know what this tag is, because I didn't know what this tag was until very recently, but if you see the tag Dead Dove Don't Eat, what that means is that person is extremely serious about those tags there. And so you have been really warned that stuff is going to be there like heavily. And it took me forever because I'm like, what does that mean?
I love that. That's an Arrested Development reference, right?
Yeah. And I didn't know that because I didn't watch that show. But when I was researching, that's where it came from, was that. And because I was like, why do I keep seeing this in some fix?
He had a bag and it said dead dove and he opened it. He's like, I don't know what I expected. Oh, that was so funny. I like that as a tag. That's a good one.
Yeah. So now they have that. So, but people still get mad. People are still like, oh, I can't believe you did this to me. And they're like, well, I tagged it. So it's your own fault. It's, you know, that's what trigger warnings are there for. That's what that kind of stuff is there for, so that hopefully it won't upset you. But I do think it is really strong in these areas because people forget that this is a form of creativity as well. And I don't know why people forget that. They don't think it's as important, I guess, as the other ones because the other ones are making money. That's the distinction, I think, is like you said, it's a hobby. But it's also like writing my Dean in Therapy fanfic. That series was very like therapeutic for me, very therapeutic for me, and dealing with a lot of personal stuff too. Because like I've stated many, many times, I relate to that character on a very, very deep and personal level. So writing that was like basically therapy for myself. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's getting that out creatively. So yeah. Okay. So Bex, have you had a personal experience? Have you had any personal experiences with ageism and fandom? Whoa.
Minor, I would say, for me. Because so in terms of like older people having like using ageism against me as a young person, I really didn't experience that because I wasn't involved in fandoms, at least not outside of my local friend group, right? Yeah, the internet was there when we were growing up-ish, but it wasn't like it is today where you have it in your pocket everywhere you go, right? And as an adult, I, you know, not joining fandoms until I was in my 30s, I very liberally use the block button. So if I see people engaging in any sort of behavior that leans in that direction, I'm like, you know what? I don't need that block, right? So I thought of like a couple of different fandoms that I was involved in and different levels of this. So first up would be Ted Lasso fandom. I have not experienced ageism in that at all because I don't know any fans that, I mean, there might be a couple in their like mid to late 20s, but I feel like almost all the fans I know are adults. And maybe that's because that show didn't deal with teenagers or, you know, there were a couple 20 somethings on the team, but like it was mostly older 30 and 40 year old, you know, it was like 30, 40, 50 year old characters. So it catered to a fan base, I think, that fit in there. There's a lot of Gen X references, elder millennial references, and that sort of thing. You mentioned Supernatural, obviously, absolutely exists, but again, cultivated my timeline in such a way that I don't see it. I do want to say, I mentioned my students before. The other day in class, we were reading some monster stories, Latina monster stories. And I mentioned that I was a fan of Supernatural as part of our conversation. And one of my students goes, that tracks. And I was like, excuse me.
What does that mean?
I don't know what she was getting at with that. But like, I'm like, you're not wrong. It does track. But like, I need to like sit down with her and be like, but how? You know, I'm not going in wearing my merch when I teach or anything. But anyway, the other fandom that I had to be cautious to avoid engaging in any of this was Dan and Phil. They're YouTubers.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, when I found them, they were like in their late 20s, early 30s, and I was in my late 30s. So I'm older than they are. And that kind of like what Ishelle was saying before, like, oh, if you find like a fandom of like younger content, you're kind of like, I don't know to what degree I want to engage. But they had a really young fan base. For some reason, their fan base was very much like young teenagers, maybe some college age students. They took a 5-year hiatus from their gaming channel. And when they came back, it was so refreshing because all of those young kids who were kind of just getting into them fell off and found new things. And the fans that had been there throughout stuck around. And so now I feel like that fandom is a little more on par with their age than just like, because even they were feeling uncomfortable catering to such a young audience. They were like, we kind of have to rebrand how we are, because that was a fandom where a lot of the young kids would be like, what are you doing here? You're like old and all of that. So, you know, it was more in the comment section of like their videos, which made it easy for me to avoid. I just avoid the comment section. But yeah, it was there. So I guess those would be my personal experiences, but they're not super concrete because I just won't tolerate it and I just walk away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, like, you know, avoiding the comment section on a lot of things.
Always a good decision.
I don't always follow that advice, but, you know.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly. So I'm actually really bad at following that advice.
Same.
Yeah. So, Ishelle, have you had any personal experiences?
Not really, but it has kept me from engaging in certain fandoms because I didn't want, and it's not like I don't want people to call me old, but it's more so like we're not going to be able to have a conversation, you know? And one, because of the ageist comments, but two, just it's the lack of emotional intelligence anyway. And like, you know, and so. And that's just spewing out in the way that you're commenting, because I'm a person who goes straight to the comment section. But and so just seeing that is like, I'm not going to have a good time here interacting with this fandom. So I haven't experienced it personally, but it has, like I said, kept me from engaging.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't experienced it personally either. And I think it could be that whole thing of the people that I interact with personally are people that I've kind of cultivated that around. And I also entered like active fandom spaces later in life too. I was in my 30s and it was with the Mindy Project was really the big fandom that I first became involved in. And that fandom was a very special fandom, I want to say, because yeah, people would disagree on certain storylines, but there were a lot of the problems you find in fandoms, honestly, and it could be just that side of, that I was involved in, but didn't exist there. And so with that show, you had people of all ages watching it and in that fandom, and I never found it there. But that was just a very unique fandom, like a very special fandom. The show plummeted, went downhill, but the fandom stayed great. And I mean, that's how I met Meg, Tiff, and Carla, was through the Mindy Project fandom. And, you know, it's interesting, though, because when I say I joined fandom so late, you know, I was really involved in film. I've been a film geek since I was born, practically. Theater geek, as far as I love theater, I have a really hard time. Sometimes I had a hard time hanging out with the other theater geeks because I was a lot shyer than they were, for sure. But, you know, I was involved in, if you've heard of Project Greenlight from way back when it was first created, Matt and Ben, they created Project Greenlight. Matt, I want to just say Matt Damon was not very involved in Project Greenlight when it first started, because I was involved in Project Greenlight when it first started. I submitted a screenplay during the second year, and that became almost like a fandom in a way, although that's more like a community of creators, but we found ourselves, and that was the first time I had been very heavily involved in online community, and then we met at a huge party after the first one and all this stuff, and yeah, and Ben Affleck would come and like interact with us on the message boards and stuff, and one of this, I have to say, no matter what you think of Ben Affleck, Ben Affleck is one of the smartest human beings on this planet. That man is so smart, super intelligent. But I don't know if I'd even call that a fandom. And then after that, when IMDb used to have message boards, and I miss those message boards, But IMDb used to have message boards, and they had a group called Oscar Buzz. And it was for people, it was started for people who love the Oscars, but then it just became a community of film fans. And I'm Facebook friends with people from that community still to this day. So that is fandom as well. But I was very much in my late 20s to early 30s when I was on there. So it's still discovering it later in life. And I don't, as far as I remember, there was no real ageism there. And the people on there varied in ages as well. Same with the Project Greenlight, but Project Greenlight was a little bit different. So I haven't personally experienced it, but I think it's because, like both Bex and Ishelle have said, I've kind of cultivated a different community. And I want to say in real life, with the Supernatural fandom, the people I have met in real life and that I wasn't interacting with online are all age ranges. And there was never anything weird. So I think some of this can sometimes be more prevalent in online spaces yes. because people can hide and not show their faces. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why a lot of these things come to light more. I'm not saying this stuff didn't exist before, but because you've got the internet, and the internet changed so much, so people can say stuff that they wouldn't normally say in person.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the comment sections. You look in comment sections. But I've sought this stuff out because I am one of those people that you should not do this, but I do it. I go and I look at all this. I look on Tumblr and look at all the drama. I don't understand Tumblr, but I still look at Tumblr. And
I tried.
So I have a Tumblr account.
How intimidating.
Tumblr. Oh, it's so. I have a Tumblr account that I created it when I was in the Mindy Project fandom because I really, you know, everybody's like, you need to have a Tumblr. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand it then. And then I got more active in it when I was writing fanfic a lot for Supernatural. And so I got involved in it because of that, but I still didn't understand it. I still have an account, but I do not understand it at all.
I don't either. It like, you know, okay, this is silly. I was watching School of Rock the other day in that little scene where they're singing, no, you're not hardcore unless you live hard. I was like, I'm not hardcore. Tumblr is for the hardcore people.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff when you're researching ageism and fandom, you know, there was, and I'll put a link to the fan lore page because there was a thing that in 2014 on Tumblr, someone, an anonymous user, because you can send in an anonymous asks, sent in an ask, and this like created this whole thing of people talking about it saying, you're middle-aged and still have Tumblr, LOL. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think Tumblr is one of the platforms that you probably see the most ageism. It's really interesting.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Although I think Tumblr is why I have my podcast, because I was looking for something with Freddie Mercury and it was a Tumblr link, and then there was a little something over here, some like a picture of Brian and Justin from Queer as Folk. And I was like, oh, I kind of remember them. And then I went and watched the whole series.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So it did give me that. Tumblr gave me that. And then it gave me anxiety and I got out of there.
It gave me anxiety. So, yeah.
I had one for a little while that I did actually write stuff for. It was called Destiella Tumbles. And I just would look for like moments of Destiella in every episode that I could find, and it was doing pretty good for a while, and then I was like, I don't have the energy for this, and I just like left. That was it. It just stopped. Every once in a while I'll get a notification like, somebody reblogged you, and I'm like, I have not been there in 5 years. What is happening?
Well, and it's interesting you say that with the Destiella thing, and someday maybe we'll talk about Tumblr. A lot of people discovered Supernatural and started watching Supernatural because of Tumblr and because of the prevalence of Destiel on there. And a lot of, madnips, which is, you know, manipulating the images to make them look like it was Dean and Cass in scenes and it wasn't and that kind of stuff, but also talking about it. And so a lot of people, there are people that started watching Supernatural because of Tumblr. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people would skip the first 3 seasons and start at season 4 when Cass came on, which I think is wrong.
It's so sad. It's so sad. Like, even as someone who ships that, I wouldn't do that. I just love those first 3 seasons so much.
There's so much that you miss.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
So. Anyway.
Anyway, we're not talking about, sorry, everybody, that was a little that I got on there, but that just made me think of that was that, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Okay, well, we do have time for this, and Bex has been hyping this up in our DM. So it is time to play 6 Degrees of Finn Wittrock. And so I'm going to first go to you, Bex, because you've been hyping.
Yes. I literally was like, hey, guys, I hope we have time for this because I did this, so I want to share it. I said, so... Mine is all women, obviously, except Finn Wittrock, because it's Women's History Month. But one of the shows and fandoms that I mentioned was Ted Lasso, and I have the podcast and all that. So I was like, all right, let's go there. So I started with Juno Temple, who is in Ted Lasso, who is also in the most recent season of Fargo with Jennifer Jason Leigh, who is in The Woman in the Window with Julianne Moore, who is in Game Change with Sarah Paulson, who's in Ratchet with Finn Wittrock. There we go.
Ooh, I really like that one. I really like that one because some of those things have never been used. I mean, Ratchet has been
used. Yeah, when I get to the end, I'm like, all right, here we go.
No, I like that a lot. I actually really like that movie Game Change, but I really, really liked that.
Thank you. I was proud of it.
Little fun fact here about Ted Lasso, too. I like that you used that, is our Ted Lasso episode was like basically where we debuted that we were going to do 6 Degrees of Finn Wittrock.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't even remember that. I was on that episode.
Yes, you were. So fun little thing there. I like that. I like that a lot. So, Ishelle, did you do one?
Sorry, can that's you okay. that work? I did not.
Wow.
I know. And I've been trying. And you know, I don't know who Finn Wittrock is, but I've been trying.
I know. That's why I'm so helpful.
Yeah. I know. I just forgot this time.
It's okay. So the one I'm going to use Supernatural, but I'm not going to use Jensen Ackles this time. So this time I'm going to use Mark Sheppard. And Mark Sheppard was in the show White Collar. And starring in White Collar, of course, is Matt Bomer. And Matt Bomer was in a bunch of stuff with Finn Wittrock, but I am going to use, because Ishelle is here, even though she didn't play. Just giving you a hard time. But Finn was in the wonderful, wonderful movie, The Normal Heart, which is one of the few things that I have no criticisms of Ryan Murphy for. It's amazing. It's incredible. And that's one of my favorite podcast episodes we've ever done, too, I want to say. So that was from a couple of years ago. And Ishelle was on that. And so was Jen, my podcast brain twin. Because anytime we cover anything that has Matt Bomer in it, I'm going to have Jen come on because Jen loves him. So, yeah. So there's my 6 Degrees of Finn Wittrock.
Nice.
Well, thank you both so much. I really enjoyed this conversation. So thank you both for joining me for this one. So we're going to go ahead and close out, and I'm going to have my tripods.
Tripod hags. No, I'm just kidding.
My tripod hags. My hags. You hags. Let me know where you can be found in your podcast.
He's got sexy ladies and hags. I love it. All right. Well, I'll go through all three again in alphabetical order. Big Reputations, podcast where we talk about women that society has judged harshly, at Big Rep Pod on Twitter and Blue Sky, and at Big Reputations Pod on Instagram. Then Coach Beard's Book Club, my Ted Lasso podcast that I co-host with three other friends. We talk about the books seen or mentioned on the show. And the last one is called Latinx Visions, which I co-host with a colleague of mine at Baruch College. That's at Latinx Visions on Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome. And our other hag,
yeah. I co-host Liberty Diner Dish with another hag named Finn. and we also co-host Pink Plate Special. And then I am separately working on Let's Talk About Rex. Right now you can find me on social media at Liberty Diner Dish. Well, you won't find me, but you'll find my podcast.
And I do want to just say, and hopefully it'll happen because I have both of them written down for the episodes, but we every year, you know, we revisit Queer as Folk every year. That's how we kick off Pride Month. Sometimes we kick it off, sometimes we round it off. We're going to kick off Pride Month and vote it on. And resoundingly, this one, hands down, was we're going to be looking at season one, and we're just, it's going to be a two-parter. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that the curse has been broken and Ken will be on there.
I'm going to text the hag right now.
I'm like, I got to watch the first season of this show. Maybe I can join you for some hag time.
I'm going to text that hag right now. Make sure you'll be there.
You should watch it. This is my all-time favorite show, Bex. You should watch Queer as Folk. And I love that they're popular episodes, because then I'm like, oh, we can talk about it every year. Well, this is Erin, and it would have been cut out, but we got interrupted at one point by Fergie, the dog. She is hilarious. I don't think she would ever have any ageism issues. I don't think she would call us, maybe she'd call us hags. I don't know. but she's a goofball and she's cute. So you want to go follow her on TikTok at Schroeder and Fergs. That's Schroeder and Fergs. It's long, but it's worth it. Be sure to like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/itsafandomthingpod. On Twitter at fandomthingpod. No, it's in that one. On Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at itsafandomthingpod. If you have any feedback, show notes, if you'd like to be a potential interview guest on the show. And also, I want to give a heads up here. We are going to be doing our marathon streaming event again this year. Every year I go, why am I doing this? I have so much fun doing it, but I know I'll be like, why am I doing this again? On May 4th. So yes, I know that's a Star Wars day. We already have a couple of great guests lined up to be on. So we already have a couple of guests to be on. One I've interviewed before. One has never been on the podcast before, and I'm very excited to have both of them on. We have another one we're kind of working on. And then we have a bunch of different panels we are designing. I don't know if Bex and Ishell will be joining me for any of this. But once again, that'll be taking place from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our YouTube channel. But if you would potentially like to be part of that and maybe have a half an hour segment, if you're a creator, a fellow podcaster, anything like that, if you would like to give away any kind of prizes, if you'd like to highlight an organization potentially, please feel free to reach out to us via our website. It's afandomthingpod.com. Click the contact us button there and that'll shoot me an email and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And while you're there, consider becoming a Patreon supporter for as little as $3 a month. You get bonus episodes, ad-free content, and so much more. So you can click the support us tab there, where you can also go to our Redbubble store. We've got some great merch. You can, you know, including It's a Destiel thing, since we mentioned that. It's a Dean thing, which is also one of my other podcasts, and a bunch of other cool things. It's a Findom thing, you know, for Finn Wittrock. It's a Snail thing for Finn Wittrock's Snail propaganda movie, Deep Water. and you can also buy us a coffee, too. But yeah, there's also a link in our show notes to our Patreon as well. And next week, we are going to be talking about fanfic do's and don'ts. Ishell will be returning for that episode. Carla will be on as well. And I'm not positive if Paula is going to be able to join us. If Paula isn't, we do have backups on there. So I will be reaching out to them too and see if they're able to be on. And then the week after that, we're going to round out Topic Month with a look at convention do's and don'ts. So that one should be fun as well. So until next time, remember, it's a fandom thing. Black Lives Matter and stop Asian hate.